Hey, this is Ryan Thomas. Thanks so much for listening to On the Road and supporting Faith Radio. You are just the very best, and we appreciate you so much. Enjoy the show.
Discovering stories of courage, determination, and hope. Welcome to Faith Radio's On the Road. Now, here's Ryan Thomas.
Well, he put in the tireless hours of preparation, and now the dream was reality. Devin Still had maximized his talent on the football field to the fullest, and was now one of the fewest of the few very best, a member of the National Football League. But then came a shocking doctor's diagnosis for his dear daughter Leah, and a journey that would reshape his whole definition of the important things in life. Now Devin is sharing the same hope-filled lessons God brought home to him, in this one-of-a-kind track of pain, great faith, and undefeatable hope. The author of the just-released book, Still in the Game, Finding the Faith to Tackle Life's Biggest Challenges, joins us on the road today. What a treat to have you here, sir. How is the day treating you so far?
It's doing good. I really appreciate you having me.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you. Let's set the scene here by talking faith in football. Where were you on this whole issue of God growing up? I understand your grandma was a big influence in this area.
Right. Yeah. So I used to go to church a lot up until my third grade year with my grandma. We used to go to church on Monday, Wednesday, have sleepovers on Friday in church. It was pretty intense. But when she moved to Michigan when I was in third grade, it was like that connection with the church or that connection with God faded away because my parents weren't big in the church.
So we'll pick up that thread in just a moment, but then we turn to football on the other hand. And I love how you introduced this topic in the book. You claim that when you first started playing, you were terrible, right?
Oh yeah, I was awful. it was pretty bad. I was so bad that, you know, when I made it to the NFL, I ended up going back home to my best friend's house, and they had a tape of us when we were playing in ninth grade, and I was so embarrassed by the tape that I ran up to the VCR, for those who still remember the VCR, and I took the VHS out of the VCR and I broke it because I didn't want anybody to see just how bad I was.
That is just phenomenal from front to back. So how do you persevere? How do you discover that love for the sport after that initial experience?
It was just about putting in the work. I surrounded myself with a lot of people who had a passion for football and, you know, just going to go train on days we didn't have to train when the school didn't require it. It allowed me to really get the tools and really start to understand the game and understand what type of skill set I needed in order to be good at this game. So just putting in that work when it wasn't required allowed me to get better.
Was it a matter of a moment, or was it somebody that spoke into your life and at a certain point just realizing that this is more than great fun, this is more than hard work? I mean, there's a gift here. There's something that I have here that might be something I can do for my vocation.
To me, it happened when I got my first scholarship, because although I got better my sophomore year in high school, and then I saw a big jump my junior year, I didn't have thoughts of going to that second level, which was going to play football at a D1 school, until I got my first scholarship from Marshall. And I was like, man, this is real. Like, I really have an opportunity to make it out of this environment that I grew up in and go to college, because I never thought about going to college. I thought I was going to go to a trade school, learn certain skill sets so I can go ahead and enter the workforce.
Sure.
But when I got my first scholarship, I knew that I had the opportunity to make it to the next level.
You then have this great collegiate football career at Penn State. You're an All-American athlete, but you also have some struggles with injury as well. And you've pointed to that time as this really another moment that you reconnect with God, because you didn't really know where else to turn, in a sense. Is that a fair way to put it?
Yeah, definitely. Because my freshman year, I was supposed to play, but I ended up tearing my ACL, my MCL during our training camp. And I really struggled with my faith during that period, because I remember before going in that play, I had prayed to God, asking him to protect me for the remainder of practice. And as soon as I went in, I got hurt. And it's like, God, how do you love me? How are you really real if I just pray for you to protect me, but instead you allow me to blow out my knees? Now I'm going to miss my whole freshman season. And I just remember sitting on that training room table crying, and then something came over me where I just apologized to God for saying those things to him and told him that I would never say anything like that again. But I believe when I said that, he tested whether I really meant what I said, because the following year, around the same time, I ended up breaking my leg.
Wow. Well, the voice you hear right there is Devin Still. He was a defensive force in the National Football League, and now he's the author of Still in the Game, Finding the Faith to Tackle Life's Biggest Challenges. And we move ahead in the story again. NFL Draft Day comes along, and after all of this that you've been through, after all this effort and all this preparation, you hear your name called in the second round. So many kids grow up dreaming of that moment. I mean, can you ever prepare yourself for it? Was it just downright surreal?
Yeah, the interesting thing about that, it was like an emotional roller coaster for me during that 2012 draft, because during my senior year in college, I was receiving a lot of awards. As you mentioned, I was All-American, Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year. I was up for a lot of national awards, and I was projected to go in the top 15 of the draft. But during my time at Penn State, during that senior year, we got hit with the Sandusky scandal. And a lot transpired during that time, especially with me as the captain. And I remember, you know, we got handed down the Ticket City Bowl that year, which wasn't a prestigious bowl. And based off our record, we knew that we should have went to a bigger bowl. And the team got mad and they wanted to boycott. And I personally thought that boycotting was the right thing to do. But I was thinking of it for a different reason, right? Because I knew that I had a chance to, you know, finally fulfill my childhood dream of playing in the NFL. And I didn't want to get hurt or risk at playing in a not a good bowl game. But I realized as a captain that, you know, I couldn't focus on what I wanted to accomplish. I had to focus on what was best for the team. So I ended up talking the team into going to the bowl game, where I got injured. And I wasn't able to participate in the Senior Bowl or to train for the combine, which affected my draft status. So that first day of the draft, I didn't hear my name called, although I was there. And it completely crushed me. Like, I didn't know what was going on. And I honestly felt like I wasn't going to go back for the second day, because I didn't want to get embarrassed again by not hearing my name called for the second day in a row. But I ended up talking myself into going. And it was the best decision I ever made, because if I would have left, I would have never heard my name called, and I wouldn't have been able to walk across that stage at Radio City Music Hall. And when I did hear my name called, it was like everything that had transpired the day before didn't matter, because I was finally here. My childhood dreams was finally true.
Wow. Thank you for that. That's an incredible story just in and of itself. Well, before we get to June 2014 and this real pivot point in your story, introduce me to this special young lady that your daughter, Leah, had become to you, and just how close and how important your relationship was to both of you.
Yep. So during my junior year of college, my daughter was born on May 6, 2010, and she just really gave me a different meaning to life, because a lot of my aspirations of making it to the NFL were selfish. They were for me to live out my dreams. But when my daughter was born, it was like I had to make it to the NFL. I had to overcome all the adversity I was facing with the injuries, because I needed to provide a better lifestyle for my daughter than I had when I was growing up. Mm. And to be honest, she took this big, strong football player, and she made me a softy. And that's why I'm glad that I had a daughter first, because having a daughter just brings out a different side of you, right? It brings out that softer side of you. And I saw myself starting to act in ways I never thought I would act, just because I wanted to make her happy and put a smile on her face.
Man. Well, that sets it up pretty beautifully then. June of that year, 2014, you discover that Leah has cancer. And you set this up in the book. You talk about a trip that you took to Disney World and just some things that you noticed. But is there anything that prepares you for that news, or is hearing that just almost an out-of-body experience?
You know, at first I didn't think there was anything that can compare, that can prepare you for that moment. But when I look back at it, I don't believe that is true, right? Because I believe that throughout all my struggles, God had been preparing me for that moment. And I say this because during that second year in the NFL, I was going through a lot of struggle. I had dislocated my elbow against the Lions, and I was out for 5 weeks. I made it back, and then I ended up having back surgery, and I missed the remainder of the season. And then a week after that, I ended up getting rushed to the hospital with blood clots in my lungs, and I almost died. And I felt like my world was just falling apart. And then my wife ended up talking to me, and she came up with the idea that we should probably start to go back to church and build a closer relationship with God and get that foundation that we needed so our lives can change. So we did just that, and we ended up getting baptized. And 2 months later, my daughter got diagnosed with cancer. And at first I was mad at God, because I'm like, how can you allow this to happen to my daughter when I just gave my life to you? Isn't my life supposed to get easier? But I realized later down the road that I believe we serve a God that is proactive and not reactive, meaning that, you know, when the enemy sends something your way to try to break you, God has already put things in your life that are meant to heal you. And sometimes those things can look like storms, but they're really not meant to break you. And I feel like everything that had transpired early on in my life, everything that had transpired during my second year in the NFL that I thought was a storm, that I thought was my life falling apart, God was really making me stronger, letting me know that, you know, the mindset that I had or the football strength wasn't going to be enough to get me through the storm that the enemy was going to send my way. And he needed me to have a closer relationship with him so that when that storm did hit, I had the tools and I had the relationship with God that would prepare me for that moment.
Man, preach the word. Devin Still right here, a defensive force in the NFL for years. Now he's the author of Still in the Game, Finding the Faith to Tackle Life's Biggest Challenges. You talk about the prognosis that the doctors gave Leah then and describe it as basically a coin flip. What was the prognosis that you heard?
She was diagnosed with stage 4 neuroblastoma, and she was given a 50-50 chance of surviving.
Man, her attitude, though, just captured so many people's hearts during this time. She just seemed to be so brave and such a fighter in the way she approached this. What was it like for you to see that in her?
I mean, it meant the world, right? Because at first I didn't know how I was going to, you know, help my daughter through her battle with cancer. But as I look back on my life and I look back at all the struggles I had went through and all the struggles I had overcame, I felt like God had given me a playbook my whole life to help me overcome whatever obstacle I faced. And all I did was take those lessons and go up to my daughter's hospital bed and just teach her everything that I learned and, you know, basically help her cultivate the mindset that she needed in order to overcome this disease.
Do I have this correct? I mean, reading it, it almost seems like it's kind of an epiphany, right? You've talked about some of these spiritual experiences, these experiences in prayer, but it's almost this moment where you realize, God has given me exactly what I need for this moment. It sounds absolutely incredible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. I don't think that God just gave me everything I needed, but I think God gives everybody everything they need to overcome whatever it is they're facing. But sometimes we can be caught up so much in what's going on that we don't take the time to reflect the things that we have already overcame in our life. Whether it was something small or big, the foundation or the basics of overcoming adversity is all the same. And when I realized that big mountain that, you know, I first saw when they told us it was probably going to take 2 years if Leah had a chance to overcome this disease, it got smaller because I realized that I had already been blessed with the tools to climb that mountain.
Huh. Man, there's such hope in that. There really, really is. Well, you face the what next question then, mm-hmm. you know, in this journey, and you decide that you're going to be there for Leah every step of the way, and you actually go ahead and put football on hold for a period, right?
Right. Yeah, because like I said, it's a lot that goes in there, because I'm amazed sometimes when I go out, right, and a lot of people would say to me, it must have been hard to sacrifice your football career for your daughter. And I'm like, no, it was the easiest thing I ever did in my life. Yeah. Because as I told you early on, the sole purpose of me making it to the NFL was to make sure I was able to provide my daughter with the best lifestyle possible. So if my daughter's life was at risk, what would it mean for me to still have football if I didn't have her to share it with? So I made it a point to find out who I truly was before I got drafted. I made it a point to find out what I valued as a man before I made it to the NFL. And, you know, my values were my faith and my family. And if I ever had to cross that boundary in order to make it to, you know, my goal or my touchdown of being an NFL player, I wasn't willing to do that. So when my daughter got diagnosed, it was a no-brainer that she came before football.
Well, your Bengals team, your city, comes alongside you in some pretty unforgettable ways too, right? I mean, donating sales of your journey for cancer research, that was really just the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, I think that's what really made the story take off, because initially when I decided to go public with the story, I did it because, one, I wanted to give my daughter's battle with cancer a purpose, because I needed it for myself. I needed to be able to conceptualize why my daughter had to go through something this horrible. And I realized that when you put a purpose behind your goal that's bigger than yourself, it's harder to give up. And I knew, because a lot of families were counting on us to really spread awareness. I knew a lot of families who were battling cancer were really looking up to us for hope, for strength, for inspiration. During those times where I felt like throwing in a towel, I didn't allow myself to do it, because I knew there were a lot of people who were dependent on us.
This is not an easy question, and if no words come, I totally understand, but that connection that you felt with other people who are going through similar things to what you were, how does it feel to know that that support is there from not even just the city, not even just the state, but from all across America and the world? I just can't imagine what that feels like.
It made me feel like we were walking the right path, because, you know, I speak a lot to people, especially on my Instagram, people who reach out to me who are going through some sort of adversity. And you know, they're struggling with finding the purpose behind their pain, or they're struggling with their purpose in life. You know, and I always tell people that when Leah first got diagnosed, I will always pray to God asking why my daughter had to go through this, or what was the purpose behind it. And I never got an answer. Right. And a lot of people face similar things in their life, but they continue to wait on the sidelines of the game of life, waiting to hear that answer from God, waiting for somebody to come tell them why they're going through the struggles they're going through. But with me, I knew I couldn't win this game by playing it from the sidelines. So I decided to give my daughter's fight a purpose of my own. And I believe that when the purpose you have for your life aligns with the purpose God has for your life, it'll open up doors you never imagined. So when I started to see the amount of people who were supporting this fight, to me, that was a sign from God saying that I'm doing exactly what he wanted me to do, which was raising awareness for all families who are battling childhood cancer.
Wow. Man, powerful stuff. Today from Devin Still on the road here for Faith Radio. Devin was a defensive force in the NFL, and now he's the author of Still in the Game, Finding the Faith to Tackle Life's Biggest Challenges, and just the incredible wisdom that goes to so many pieces of our life is found all throughout this great book. It really, really is. It's an amazing story, but also some amazing application as well. And in just a few moments, we'll tell you how you can grab a copy if you're fascinated by the story. But multiple successful surgeries and treatments later, and Leah has been in remission for years now, right, sir? It sounds like she's just doing beautifully.
Yeah, March 25th, she'll be 4 years in remission. So we're just fighting to get to that five-year mark so she can be declared cancer-free, but we already live our lives like she's cancer-free now.
Man. you know, maybe somebody is listening today and they're fresh off news that has just devastated them. You know, maybe it's news like what you heard that June day in 2014. I just wonder, what's your message to that friend today, Devin, that no matter how things look today, that God really will be there with them in the days ahead?
Yeah, like I said before, I think that every storm that's placed in our life is not meant to break us, but is meant to build us, build our character, build our faith, build our relationship with God so that we're able to trust him and see the things that he's able to bring us through. And I know that my daughter's battle with cancer definitely made me see the possibilities that, you know, are out there when you have faith or when you trust in God. But the biggest thing for people to do is, you know, not to lose hope, not to lose fun, not to allow whatever circumstances they're going through to control and consume their whole life and their emotions. And I almost succumbed to that when Leah was diagnosed with cancer, when she was in the hospital for about 2 weeks, and I had never left my daughter's bedside because I wanted to be there with her every step of the way. And I remember one night I had decided that I was going to go to my wife's house. And when I went there, you know, I just wanted to clear my mind and get some new clothes to take back to the hospital. But there were people over her house, and I remember sitting on the couch, and the people were in the dining room, and somebody had told a joke, and the whole room started laughing. And I remember I started laughing, but like 2 or 3 seconds later, my brain told me to stop laughing. And I started to question myself, like, how am I able to sit here and laugh and have fun when my daughter's in the hospital fighting death? But when those thoughts crossed my mind, I thought about a lesson that my little league coach had taught me when we were playing football. And we were losing this game, and everybody was walking around with their heads down looking sad.
Yeah.
And he brought us up in a huddle, and he told us that the moment we stopped having fun, we already lost the game. And when he said that, it meant much more to me than just football. Like, I felt like he was talking about life and was saying that when you stop having fun, then you already lost the game of life. So wow. In that moment, I decided not to allow cancer to control us, that we were going to continue to have fun regardless of what we were going through. That's why people were able to see, you know, videos of us on my Instagram with us dancing all the time or us wearing wigs or painting nails, because I wanted to make sure that my daughter continued to have fun regardless of her battle with cancer. So people just need to understand, regardless of what you're going through, you can still find ways to have fun. And by having that fun, it'll motivate you to continue to move forward.
Yeah, that's just one of the many pieces of incredible wisdom in the book, Still in the Game. And this is another one of those big questions with a lot of detailed response that could exist, but I'll just ask it anyway. What do you hope that a reader really does walk away from the book after they put it down, Still in the Game? How do you hope they're impacted by it?
The one thing I want people to take away from this is, like, no matter what you're going through, no matter what struggles you're going through, you have to understand that you cannot win the game of life by playing from the sidelines. You can't wait for other people to come help save you. You have to take control of your own life and understand that no matter what you're going through, as long as you're alive, you're still in the game. And, you know, no loss is too great to stop your comeback.
Well, sir, thank you so much for being part of the show today. Just an absolutely incredible story of your brave daughter and the incredible way that you both approach this, your family, your community. So just honest to goodness, thank you so much for being here today, first of all.
No, thank you for having me.
And if we do want to learn more about this book, Still in the Game, Finding the Faith to Tackle Life's Biggest Challenges, I know it's available wherever fine books are sold, but if we want to head somewhere online to begin the journey, where should we go, sir?
You can go to stillinthegamebook.com. You can go to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or, you know, if you're having trouble finding it, you can contact me directly on my Instagram at stillinthegame.
You know, the one thing that I can't resist asking too, just before we say goodbye, I know that you speak all over the world and share this story, but there were some moments in here where you were really preaching the word. You think pastoring is ever going to be part of the future as well, sir?
You know, people keep saying that to me. I don't, To be honest with you, I don't know. Right now, I feel like I'm just trying to share my testimony because that's what God wants me to do, because there are a lot of people who are facing, you know, similar struggles, and they're trying to find a way to make their comeback in the game of life. I honestly can't see myself behind a pulpit preaching, but I can see myself out in the field doing God's work.
Well, that's what you're doing today, my friend. And one more time, still in the game, finding the faith to tackle life's biggest challenges. Devin Still with us today on the road. Sir, thank you one more time. God bless you. Keep up the great work.
God bless you too.
Thanks for sharing in the story of this latest episode of Faith Radio's On the Road. For more on today's conversation and the full podcast archive of all our episodes, look for On the Road when you visit myfaithradio.com.
Thank you so much for listening. Programming like this is available through your support, and you can learn more about partnering financially at myfaithradio.com. We'd also love to hang out with you during the week on Facebook and on Twitter. Just search for On the Road with Ryan Thomas. Talk to you again soon.